Welcome to Eye on the Illini. Today we have Matt Stevens on with us, the Illini football staff writer and person who has a very unique perspective on covering football as he has covered it in the SEC as well as the Big Ten. So he understands what big boy football is all about. And we're going to talk a little bit about Media Day and some of the things that he saw here on Eye on the Illini. Of course, that's powered by IlliniGuys.com. So make sure that you go to IlliniGuys.com for all the inside information. And make sure when you go as a subscriber, hit the forums button on the front page and go into our basketball and into our football message boards. That's where you will find up-to-date information that you cannot find anywhere else. And I mean anywhere. So Matt, you just got back from going over to Media Day. A lot of things are going on there. Give me your initial thoughts.
Well, I'm still here. Where Illinois went in day one, I'll just kind of, you know, try to listen to day two if anything catches my eye. But on day one, obviously, for our purposes, Illinois, you know, and Brett Bielema was able to come back to Indianapolis and Big Ten Conference Media Day for the first time in almost a decade. I thought Brett did a really, really good job of selling where he thinks the program can be in 3-4 years and kind of trying to massage what they could be now and what they are now. It's not easy when you're the new coach and you walk into Lucas Oil Stadium and you get preseason projections that have you dead last in the West and with the least amount of votes in the Big Ten. And I'm sure that Brett, you know, has done this long enough to know that he was, and smart enough to know that that was probably going to happen, like long before he showed up at Lucas Oil on Thursday. But I thought he did a really good job of trying to make sure that everybody understands that this is going to be this is his first, technically, you know, Mike, this is really his first rebuilding project in the sense that he took over a program that was really successful with Bobby Petrino and had kind of cratered. And then he kind of had to put his stamp on what Arkansas football was. And he took the program over for Barry Alvarez, and his job at Wisconsin was, hey, keep the boat afloat. Like, you know, I mean, keep doing what I've been doing now that I'm your boss. This is not the case at Illinois. This is his first full rebuilding job of a big boy college football program. And I think that he's going about it in the right way. And he does this really, really well, Mike. I mean, honestly, Brett Bielema is somebody you want to take to Media Day because, you know, there are people from, you know, national media. There's people from other, you know, Big Ten media that just want to be drawn to what Brett Bielema has to say. Because what Brett Bielema has to say a lot of the time is usually pretty well thought out before he ever gets to wherever he's going to say it. And if it's not well thought out, at least it's entertaining and funny. Like, and so what I thought was real interesting was he was able to project a different image than he was when he was 36 years old and he took over at Wisconsin, because I think still a lot of Big Ten media people have this perception of Brett in the sense of, you know, I grew up in southeastern Wisconsin, Mike. Like, I know what Brett Bielema was like when he was at Wisconsin, and the thought process is, if this is going to get me in trouble, let's just do it now. Like, Brett liked the three B's. He liked brats, he liked beer, and he liked babes. Like, that was what he said when he was at Wisconsin. Like, and today at 51 years old with two kids and a wife, Brett Bielema looked into everybody's camera and looked into everybody's eyes and said, you know what? I was probably too arrogant and I was probably too cocky when I was at Wisconsin. And then he paused and he went, well, I'm still probably too cocky and arrogant right now. I've never heard a big time big boy college football coach literally ever say that. I'm probably too arrogant. Like, that's never been something I've ever heard anybody say. And so there's a way that Brett Bielema connects with people in that kind of an environment. And I thought he did a really, really good job. And in my personal opinion, Mike, and I, this might get me in trouble with some Illini guys subscribers and some people in our local market. I don't really care. Brett Bielema can go 0-12, and the news that he brought to Lucas Oil, you know, was some of the best news that I think that's being completely undersold in college football right now, which is they're going to start camp on August 1st. They'll have their first practice on August 2nd. He will have a 100% vaccinated football program. And right now, he's, as far as I can tell, he's the first college football coach that's been able to promise that. And I don't care if they go 0-12. That's something that Brett Bielema can actually cross off as a goal that should have been done long before we ever got to media day by every college football program, in my personal opinion, just to have a ability to have a safe college football season and not have to worry about contact tracing and not have to worry about all these things. He wanted to get that out there. He has sisters in the healthcare industry. Like, he wanted to get that out there. It was important to him. It was important to Josh Whitman. And we'll get into this later, but when the Big Ten still hasn't figured out its COVID protocols 37 days before the opener with, you know, when Nebraska and Illinois kick off in Champaign, Brett Bielema can go, I don't really care what your COVID protocols are. My team's going to be 100% vaccinated. And then all we got to worry about is the Delta variant. That's all we got to worry about. Cool. Like, I'm not going to wait for you guys. So there's a lot of news that off the field that I think Brett Bielema wants to get out there, that he's doing a responsible job as a Division I football coach and a major part of an athletic program. He got that out there. There were some interesting tidbits about his expectations for Isaiah Williams at wide receiver, which I felt like was a big boy deal. I've said before to people that if he can be a poor man's version of Rondale Moore, if he can be a poor man's version of what Ohio State got out of Braxton Miller, then that's good. I didn't get that impression out of Brett. I think Brett feels like, you know, he said that he was a five-star guy coming out of high school in terms of maybe being a wide receiver. I know of a lot of teams, Alabama, Florida State, Florida, you name it, Notre Dame, you name all the college football playoff contenders. They wanted Isaiah at DB and maybe at wide receiver. And, Brett's like, well, I just got a 4 to 5 star wide receiver now in, you know, by doing this position switch and getting him to agree to this position switch. I think it could be a bigger deal than even I think it is. And I'm trying not to sell Isaiah because he's never played wide receiver in his life. So I'm trying to undersell it, but maybe it's going to be a bigger deal come kickoff on August 28th. I have no earthly idea, but Brett Bielema has higher expectations for Isaiah, I think, than even I do. So yeah, that's news.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of reveling in the idea that Illinois is, you know, not really seen as, you know, the idea that they're going to do that much in 2021. So we'll see. I think he's reveling in the idea that anything that they do that's perceived to be, you know, a upset in 2021 is, you know, a world that he likes to live in right now. You know, if they beat Nebraska on August 28th and they're right now a 9.5 point home dog, that's an unbelievable win for Brett Bielema's program. And I think that he's kind of liking living in that world now instead of trying to maintain a Wisconsin or maintain what Bobby Petrino did at Arkansas.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I'll compliment you and tell you, you know, if you want to read a really good article, you know, Matt has had quite a few that you can go to IlliniGuys.com and subscribe to see. But one of the things that you put in the feature on Owen Carney today that really jumped out to me. Now, this comes as a guy who's run sales teams, and you have to develop your people,
right,
to be talented. You have a situation where they looked to try to convince him to come back. They looked at what Owen was gonna, they looked at his film and they looked at what they needed him to do. And right, what they needed him to do was they went through and figured out all the things that the coaching staff could help him with in 1 year to make him a better product for the NFL. And so as I looked at it, to me, that's the type of planning that you really need to develop a football team. You have to be able to look down to the micro details and say, okay, what are we going to do for Owen Carney that's going to help him, obviously for the NFL, but help him, that's going to help us win on the field today. And when I see stuff, putting together a film package of how he's seen and what they are going to do to improve him to the next level and get increased production out of him, that's the approach that I want my Illinois football coaches to take.
So I enjoyed trying to investigate, and I'll have something on this today, meaning Friday. I did do the Owen Carney story because I thought it was really interesting. There's two interesting elements to it. One is, so you saw the influx of guys that initially said, I'm coming back. And that was your Doug Kramers, your Alex Palcheskis, your Brandon Peters, is all these guys basically said, I'm with Brett. It's been only 48 hours, but I'm with Brett. I'm coming back. Boom. About that same time, Owen Carney puts his name in the transfer portal. And it was at that time, Brett Bielema kind of goes to Pat Embleton, the director of recruiting at Illinois, and goes, is this a guy we want? Like, is he going to be a problem? And to Pat's credit, he goes, Coach, if we can get OC back, that's a real big step in the right direction for you. And so Brett started immediately putting together a film package of what he thought OC could do, not only at Illinois in 1 year, but also get prepared for the NFL. And I thought the best thing that Brett ever said to Owen Carney was, I just spent 2 years in the NFL coaching you. Not you per se, but you body type, you player. And that's outside linebacker, pass rusher in the NFL.
Yep.
And I think that hit a chord with Owen Carney. But he also, Owen Carney wanted to go somewhere where he was going to be on television, not only be on television, but be in a program that was going to win. And he had to have difficult conversations with Brett Bielema, he and his uncle. And I thought one of the interesting things was he was sitting in his office with his uncle, and while he was still trying to figure out what he's going to do in the transfer portal, and they were going back at each other. Like, and the uncle finally just looked over at Brett and said, Coach, it's okay to be the good cop every now and again. Like, and that kind of changed Brett's perspective of, I need to tell this kid what he wants to, like what he needs to hear. And I think Brett kind of got an indication that everybody else in the transfer portal was telling Owen what he wanted to hear. And yeah, maybe what wasn't best for him. Turns out that once Owen Carney sat down and decided to have a conversation with himself about where he wanted to be, he made a mature decision that the guy who's telling him what he needs to hear is the guy that he needs to play for. And that was Brett Bielema.
Yeah.
The other recruiting story that I heard out of the transfer portal or whatever was Jake Hansen. Jake literally hung up on Brett Bielema in the middle of a phone conversation because he didn't want to hear from him anymore because Jake was going to go to the NFL. And I'm tired of hearing about Brett Bielema in Illinois because I don't want to play for you. I'm done at Illinois, right? So what did Brett Bielema do? Called his dad and said, look, Jake's not going to take my call anymore, but if he ever figures out that the NFL is not going to work out for him at this year, have him give me a call because I'll save a scholarship for him. So his dad, who kind of saw this process heading this way anyway, finally had a conversation with Jake that, look, I think you need to go back to college for one more year, put up unbelievable numbers, and then we'll see where you are in the NFL. He says, and at that point, I think Jake realized, well, I've already hung up on the head coach at Illinois, so where am I going to go? And his dad was able to say, hey, look, I've had conversations with Brett that you weren't privy to. If you call him, he'll let you back. So even after somebody hangs up with Brett Bielema, he finds another avenue in which to kind of keep the communication going and the possibility of a all Big Ten linebacker and a guy who's, you know, going to be on, you know, national watch lists at the linebacker position can come back in your program. So I just feel like, you know, Bielema is doing everything he can to put together, you know, one of the oldest, most experienced, and that doesn't mean they're the most talented because they're not, but
right,
you know, the best case scenario in 2021 to maybe pull off some wins. And in order to, and when that happens, you've seen how, you know, all these guys are coming back to a coach they'd never even met before. And then you see what the 2022 recruiting class looks like right now. And that looks a heck of a lot better than it's ever looked in, you know, late July, early August with Lovie Smith, in terms of commitments and in terms of high quality commitments. So I think that Brett understands that people think the 2022 Illini are going to take a huge drop. And I don't feel like he feels that way. I think he feels like if he can get his system in place, you know, there's going to be talent. There's going to be a talent influx, albeit a youth talent influx at Illinois. And he has said, look, I'm building this thing, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in the future. I'm not building this thing as I want to go, you know, transfer portal this thing up and try to get 9 wins right out of the box. Like, this is not what we're doing here. And I think that there's a lot to be said for that. And I think he's made strategic moves along the way that people can nod their head while he's talking. And I've seen it. I saw it on Thursday and go, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So we go from Brett Bielema, who's making sense and showing that he has a vision for the future. So let's talk about the antithesis of that. And that would have been the Warren Media Day performance. That's obviously, for those who aren't really paying attention, the Big Ten commissioner is no longer Jim Delaney. It's a gentleman by the name of Kevin Warren. And it seems like he had a underwhelming day.
It's the first time he was able to do this, because obviously they didn't have Media Day in 2020.
Yep.
I think after 2020, a whole bunch of people know that Jim Delaney and Kevin Warren is the commissioner of the Big Ten after everything that happened. It was the first time he was able to kind of sit up there and give his, what I call, State of the Union. You know, I'm old enough now where I used to experience Mike's live doing it at the SEC in Hoover, Alabama. I've seen Greg Sankey do it. I've had one-on-one chats with Greg Sankey for a long time. This is the first time Kevin Warren's been able to do this. And one of the things that I think you know about me, Mike, but maybe the Illini guys subscribers and people don't know about me, is that I have really tried to give Kevin Warren every benefit of the doubt, because I don't like the dynamic. I don't like the dynamic of 14 presidents and chancellors in the Big Ten making a lot of the decisions that Kevin Warren has to be the figurehead of and go out in the public and deliver. And then they don't receive any of the criticism and scrutiny and responsibility on those decisions. Like, he is the punching bag for the decisions that they make. And you, Kevin Warren, are going to take the beating, not us. You are. You're going to take the public beating. I don't like that dynamic. I really, really don't. And I think that I don't like that there's 14 presidents and chancellors in this league, including Robert Jones at Illinois, who can skate on that stuff. So I wrote my column in a very strategic way, which is either Kevin Warren is not the leader that this conference, he's terrible at being a figurehead leader of a conference, which is possible, or he's doing exactly what those 14 people want him to do. And either one of those results is bad for the Big Ten. I mean, really bad.
I can
see a scenario, Mike, where there's a lot of people in that office in Rosemont right now that think Kevin Warren did a great job, or at least they're going to tell their boss to their face that he did a great job. And that's immediately going to be followed by 14 people who are in the Big Ten Council of Presidents and Chancellors that are going to tell Kevin Warren he did a great job. Kevin Warren didn't do a great job. Kevin Warren was, in fact, it infuriated me that Kevin Warren was indirectly insulting to the media that was sitting there in front of him. And you had all summer to figure out how you were going to answer these questions. You didn't have a week after Greg Sankey speaks. Like, you had all summer to figure this out.
Yep.
One of the things that I will say, Mike, is that the minute that he said they don't have a chief medical officer right now, I turned to somebody and I said, oh my God, he's going to use that as a crutch to not have a COVID plan yet. And sure enough, they don't have a COVID plan yet. And we're 36 days until Nebraska and Illinois kick off in Champaign at Memorial Stadium. But we're going to have a plan before that first kickoff. Okay, cool. Like, but in the meantime, like, we got states, even in the Big Ten, that have a really, really low, you know, COVID vaccination rate right now. Like, you better come up with a plan really quick, because guess what? Illinois is going to start fall camp on August 2nd. Like, if they weren't 100% vaccinated, what was your plan for them? Like, so there wasn't a plan for that. There was a reactive plan to potential expansion or realignment, which basically allows the SEC to be the proactive Power Five league and essentially admit to the world that Greg Sankey and what I believe Jim Phillips at the ACC are basically going to be the bell cows of this whole ordeal. And you got the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 and the Big 12, whatever remnants they have at the end of this, they're going to be reactive and they're going to try to basically pick up table scraps. That's the way I figured it. That's the way that Kevin Warren answered it. So it is very, very possible that Kevin Warren doesn't have answers because these 14 people of which he works at the pleasure of don't want him to have these answers or don't want him to be a dynamic figure like Jim Delaney was. If that's the case, it's bad for the league. If Kevin Warren is just incapable of doing what he was supposed to do on Thursday, then that's bad for the league too. So I've tried to give Kevin Warren every bit of benefit of the doubt that I can. I still kind of feel bad for him that he's the public figure that takes all these beatings and there's 14 people in the, it's like a scene from Goodfellas where there's like 14 people in the back of the restaurant that are making these decisions and Kevin Warren has to go out and tell everybody and that everybody's going to be mad as hell. Like, I think that that's a scenario that's happening right now in the Big Ten. And I don't like it, but I also don't think that Kevin Warren has the cash that has the clout and the cachet to basically sit there and say, guys, this is a really bad idea. Like, I know I work for you, but this is a really bad idea. Like, let's figure out something else, please. Yeah, and I don't think he has the ability to say that. Having said that, and I said this to somebody on Thursday, there is somebody I feel like could have done that. And his name is, he's a U of I grad by chance. His name's Jimmy Phillips.
Yep.
And that's why the ACC want him as their commissioner. Like, so Brad, the idea today is that my idea for my column was basically in jest was if that State of the Union address was being given by Jimmy Phillips on Thursday, I don't think we have this conversation. I think he would have had the league better prepared to at least give answers to questions that Kevin Warren just didn't give. And I think that that's at the end of the day, what you're looking for out of a leadership position in which there's 14 guys in the back that are actually making decisions. I imagine here's the dynamic that frustrates me, and I hope it frustrates a lot of fans of the Big Ten. I imagine what Kevin Warren did on Thursday was really impressive to Robert Jones at the University of Illinois, the chancellor at the University of Illinois. I also imagine that Josh Whitman sitting in the back at Lucas Oil Stadium going, what the hell is this? Like, how the hell do you expect me to run my athletic department at this point? So that's the dynamic right now of the league. And I think it's going in a direction that's not good for the future of the conference. And I don't know how to change it.
So I would love to know exactly what the dynamics are. You have to lead when you're in a role like that. And to be honest with you, if Kevin Warren isn't going to push back on bad ideas, then he's in the wrong role. And then the other thing is one of, you know, I've had these moments with people who employ me that's like, hey, if you want me to lose, I'm not losing with a game plan that's not mine. So we need to part directions because you got a bad plan and I'm not going to go deliver a bad plan and call it mine. And I would love to know how it went because I looked at Delaney as pretty much he went out with a plan, and as long as his 14 bosses didn't have to explain bad things, they didn't care what his plan was. And maybe they've decided to grip it a little tighter now, or maybe Kevin Warren doesn't understand that his job is to push back and against their theories and sell them on something. And I don't know where that is, but I will say that, this is frustrating for me as somebody, people who know me for a long time. I am I'm a wonk and a nerd when it comes to conference realignment. I've been on, even before my days of doing this, in 2011, I was on a couple national shows. You managed to be the caller who gets to talk with the big time host about conference realignment. And I remember, back in 2011, before getting bounced off of Stephen A. Smith's show, arguing that what the Big Ten had to do, regardless of whether they got them right now, is they had to go after continuously until it happens. It might take a decade. Little did I think it would, you know, take a decade, but they need to be in constant contact with Notre Dame and with Texas because of their academics that just don't fit in the SEC and the money that the Big Ten can generate over the ACC in any way is you know, just not comparable. And the other thing that I had said in those days again was they need to, as a Big Ten, they need to be looking at UCLA and USC because you get the left coast, you get all that press, and you need to be thinking about those schools. And obviously for a conference, you probably need to bring in more than just two for the logistics of travel. So I get frustrated when I see the Big Ten twiddling their thumbs. The SEC is a force. Everybody knows that. But they aren't necessarily a fit. They're a much better fit for the Aggies than they are for Texas. And so they're actually a much better fit for Oklahoma than they are Texas, just by rankings of the Oklahoma's university versus Texas.
Right.
And so from an academic standpoint, so I really think that the Big Ten, they need to be having the back channel discussions, or heck, you know, Kevin needs to pick the phone up, or gosh darn, you know, ask Jim to be a chairman emeritus to go talk to him. Or I'll be honest with you, Josh Whitman's proven to me that he can sell things. Have Josh pick up the phone and be the point man. But they need somebody that's going to try to flex back against this, because the Big Ten has advantages that the SEC doesn't have, just like the SEC has advantages that the Big Ten doesn't. And I think you need, fit is such an important thing that they need to be working on that.
Yeah, I want to make it very clear. I had somebody address me today, like, about the hiring of Kevin Warren, like way back in 2020, like before, or actually it was 2019. Kevin Warren's a really intelligent person. Like, you're talking about somebody that out of high school got accepted to an Ivy League school.
No doubt.
Has a master's degree at Arizona State and a JD at Notre Dame, and can practice law right now as of today, I think in four states, including the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C. Like, he's a really smart guy, but I just wonder if he's out of his element in the position that he's at and currently at. And I wonder how, again, 14 people in the back room who don't get a whole lot of pub unless COVID happens, and now everybody's wondering why we're not playing football. I wonder why he's there. Is Kevin Warren out of his element in the position that he's at, with the dynamic of what that position entails now? Because once Jim Delaney was able to put together a resume that made everybody else in academia world at every other Big Ten university go, okay, that guy knows what he's doing. We're good. We're fine. Yep. Right. The major one was getting the Big Ten Network and selling the deal with Fox. They're like, fine, we're good. You guys are pretty, like, Big Ten's going to give my university enough money. Jim's produced my university with enough annual money that I don't have to worry about what he's doing, right?
Exactly.
So then Jim Delaney retires, and they bring in Kevin Warren, who had the resume to be the Big Ten commissioner. I would have picked Jimmy Phillips, but whatever, right? And then you got 14 people in the back in academia that now want to treat Kevin Warren like he's a substitute teacher, and we're going to run the class, not the guy in the front of the class. Like, and so Jim Delaney was big on telling everybody involved in the conference. He didn't show them the carrot a whole lot. He showed them the stick and said, look, I'm not going to be a part of this, or I'm going to retire early if you guys are going to do this, because I can't be involved in this. And here's what's going to happen if you guys make this wrong call, right? I watched 2020 where Kevin Warren basically got treated like a substitute teacher and just told, like, here's how we're going to handle this. You go out and tell people. He's still doing that, and I don't know why. And I don't know why after 2020, when they did have a football season, Ohio State did play in the national title game, the league still did cut its losses pretty darn well in terms of revenue. Like, I don't know why Kevin Warren doesn't have a bigger rope with these people. Or I don't know why Kevin Warren can't come out and give a State of the Union that was better than that. I don't know the answers to that. Again, the only thing I know, Mike, is that whether or not it's option A or option B, both options stink right now for the Big Ten. And agree. I don't know how to change it.
Agree. I think in the end, Kevin Warren's going to have to decide, do I want to go to battle with what I think is the plan? Or am I going to go to battle and take hits for a plan that I don't believe in? If he does, maybe he believes in this.
We don't know that.
And sometime we'll try to get him on the show. I'm not willing to throw him under the bus, but I will say when you start a new position of leadership, you probably need to come in a little too strong because you can always ease up a little bit. But when you come in weak, it's hard to really put the screws in. And I don't want to be one of those guys who mistakes inflexibility for strength, because that's right. Not the case. But there's certainly some options, that he needs to think about. And the Big Ten really needs to sit down behind closed doors and rethink it. And that's where I like a guy like Josh Whitman, because Josh is always thinking down the line. And maybe some of these academics need to shut up and say, hey, Josh, you know, what do you think? And try to look at what they want to do for the future.
Yeah, the only thing that I thought was positive was Barry Alvarez, which is he is now the point of contact for football people in the league. And they don't have to basically chase, the people who work in the office in Rosemont anymore. They can call Barry Alvarez if they have a problem. And I think that's a good – nobody else has a football czar in the Power Five, in a Power Five league. That's a good development for Kevin Warren. It kind of fell in his lap after Barry retired at UW-Madison. But that was it. That was the only good thing. But right now, I think the Big Ten is in a position right now where they could be at a position of strength if they were proactive. And it seems like that they want to be reactive. And I don't know if that's the right call.
Yeah. So with that, we are going to wrap up this episode. We will probably get Matt on again very soon to discuss what he's seeing on day two. And I really think that when you're looking at the coverage we get on football here at IlliniGuys.com, when you get a gentleman like Matt Stevens, who has been covering programs like Mississippi State, Auburn, Purdue, and now Illinois, you're getting a wealth of information and perspective that you just can't get anywhere else. You know, from my perspective as a longtime Illini fan, I don't have that ability to sit back and talk SEC, which is the football buzzsaw. We all know it, and understand what football can be in a truly dog-eat-dog conference. And so the perspective that Matt can lend us and that you will see in the articles at IlliniGuys.com is just above and beyond what you're going to see anywhere else. So I'm going to tell you right now, as we close out the podcast, you go to IlliniGuys.com and you subscribe. You get 7 days, no risk. We don't charge you till the end of the seventh day. If you don't like it, you can just cancel. You'll never see a charge. If you do like it, which is what most people are doing, go ahead and sign up for a year for $99, and you'll be very thankful you did. And for those people who are reading our articles are excellent, but make sure you go back and hit the forums button and go back into the discussions for basketball and football. That's where you'll see a lot of the, let's just call it the gossip, the rumors, the things that are going on in the background that will really add to your Illini fandom, whether you're an Illini football fan, basketball fan, or both. And we also have coverage of the non-revenue sports as well. So, Matt, thank you so much for coming on today.
No problem, Mike. Appreciate it.
And whether you are, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, whether you live across the U.S. or across the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Thank you very much, and we will talk to you later.